Welcome to Christ the Center, your weekly conversation of Reformed theology. My name is Camden Busey. I'm in Libertyville, Illinois, at the Reformed Forum headquarters, and I'm really excited to be speaking today with my good old friend. Not that he's old, he's only a few years older than me, but he's been my friend for a long time, certainly in my Reformed life, a majority of my Reformed life, I believe. Jim Cassidy, who serves as the pastor of South Austin OPC in South Austin, Texas, as well as the president of the board of directors here at Reformed Forum. So, hey, boss, how's it going, Jim? It's good to see you today.
It's good to see you, old friend.
Yes, sir.
Not quite as old as this old friend, but getting there. You're getting up. You're catching up.
Just this week, I had my OPC birthday. So I grew up, I've said it a million times, but I grew up in the mainline Presbyterian church. But long story short, whenever I went off to Westminster Seminary in Philadelphia, very soon thereafter, we joined Calvary OPC in Glenside, Pennsylvania, which is right across the street from the seminary campus there. Not too far from the ruins of Vantill Hall. I just drove through there. Just last week in terms of when we're recording, and it is no more, but it will live on in our hearts, on into the future where we had so many classes, and you can buy bricks from Westminster if you want to buy a brick to commemorate Vantill Hall. But the reason I mention this is those were the good old days back in 07, so now I am 17 in terms of OPC years, and I probably met you at that time. It would have been maybe even before, but you and I and Jeff Waddington, I made your acquaintance through Jeff, and those were the beginnings of OPC life. And you were pastor up in Ringo's at the time, and you remember that?
Yeah, that's right. I do. I arrived in Ringo's in 2000.
I know you remember. I didn't mean do you remember being pastor of Ringo's. I presume that you remember being pastor of Ringo's. I mean those days. Yeah. But we used to even get together sometimes and do a little Voss group reading. Yep. And I remember just you getting things kickstarted and the OPC ministry up in Ringo's, and I got to visit a few times, do some Sunday schools, do my preaching. I still remember doing an evening service there and doing several.
I think I started the doctoral program at Westminster in the fall of 2007. Mm-hmm. Almost a year after I got to Ringo's, and it was probably around then or so that we met beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I started. You just started your MDiv. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
So you were a bad influence on me and all of that.
Corrupted
and
you.
And that continues to this day. So, we're going to talk a bit about some of those times, but we're going to do so through the history and the context of Reformed Forum. The reason we're going to do that is the way I'm trying to work out the schedule is that this episode will be published on, I believe, September 27th, which will be the day of our board meeting. And then in the evening, we will have a pre-conference event in Grays Lake, Illinois. The next day, Saturday, September 28th, 2024, will be our annual theology conference, which will be held at Hope Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Grays Lake. We're going to be speaking about the subject of the Great Commission, looking at a theme we've titled Ordinary Means, Extraordinary Ends, Word, Sacrament, and the Great Commission. So Jim and I will speak a bit about Reformed Forum's place and understanding of global missions and the commission that has been given to the church, which is the mystical body of Christ. So, and then how Reformed Forum seeks to support the work of the church in missions. And at the conference, we're going to be working through the Great Commission, phrase by phrase, through Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And there'll be five addresses. Each speaker will be taking the subsequent chunk in the Great Commission. So Lane Tipton will start things off, then I will speak, then Carlton Wynn, then Jim Cassidy, and Doug Clawson. So all faculty and board members of Reformed Forum, we've got a great lineup. I'm excited about these addresses, about this format. And if you're listening to this and in the area, or have a private jet, or or if you can get a red-eye flight And if you're in a major metropolitan area, it probably wouldn't be that hard. Make your way to O'Hare Airport, ORD, which isn't too far from church, about half an hour from our church. And if you fly on in, September 28th, 2024, we'll be hosting our conference. We've been at it since 2014, I believe, was when the first conference we had. And we've had a conference every year, save 2020, with the year we don't want to speak about. So we're excited to bring that back to you and talk about these things. But part of the conference, we also this year are including, I just ordered booklets. So we will have these little notebooks at the conference that are themed, and that will have a spread for each of the addresses, including an outline for all the speakers that provided an outline. And then we've got a little bit of an essay. So I printed out some of the stuff. And this is a little work that we've used in the past, and I updated it a bit for this particular event titled Reformed Forum and Global Theological Education, which goes through a bit of the history of Reformed Forum to a degree, explains the Great Commission and our understanding of it exegetically and theologically, and then quickly gets into our mission, what we're seeking to do here at Reformed Forum, which is to present every person mature in Christ. We seek to support the church ultimately in that work. And then just talking about missions. And by God's grace, we've turned into an organization that is able to support people around the world, helping to present every person mature in Christ primarily by providing theological resources with our online video courses, our books, our podcasts, but also through events. And we're looking to expand that with study groups and cohorts. And by visiting in person, back in April, I was able to go to Budapest, Hungary, and then to Vienna, Austria, and to meet people in person. And hopefully in 2025, we'll be able to do some of those things. Jim was all the way in Philippines teaching, not for Reform Forum, but, you know, there's an overlap of he's the one doing it. So his ministerial labors there certainly has an effect. And there's a lot of listeners in Philippines now. Oddly enough, Jim, did you know this? Philippines, Ryan and I were looking at the stats. In terms of number of students by country. So I think we're up to 90 countries now in terms of students for Reformed Academy, which is our, which is our online courses. Number one, obviously, is the United States. Number two country, Philippines. Oh, wow. They beat Great Britain, Canada, Australia, all the other Anglophone countries. You expect the Anglophones to be up there because our resources are predominantly in English. We have translations or subtitles in lots of other languages, but the speaker's still speaking English. Philippines. Wow. Now, I know there's a lot of English speakers in Philippines too, but it's just amazing to see the effects of missions largely in some ways from the CRC back in the 40s and 50s,
right,
still having this generational effect and a Reformed influence in Philippines and an excitement. I can just tell from the stats, but you've seen it face-to-face and in person. By God's providence, we didn't plan this. We have no master plan. We're not genius strategists or anything. We just kind of walk in the doors that get open to us. And God's been leading us that way from January 2008, when you, me, and Jeff Waddington recorded a podcast online when no one knew what a podcast was. You two didn't even know what a podcast was, but I said, just talk into this mic and we'll talk about this stuff and I'll take care of the rest.
Just speak here.
Don't worry about it. It'll help people. And it did. Going from that to now, wow, you know, recording online courses, and people are finding benefit, and I couldn't be more grateful. So I don't need for this episode to, I don't intend for this episode just to be us talking nostalgia, although that's fun, but that's fun for you and me to do privately. And maybe for anyone who wants to listen, we don't need to take up a whole podcast episode doing that, but it is helpful sometimes for us to reflect on where we've come from and where we're going. And I do that with the intent of trying to bring all of our listeners and viewers on board and get excited about the things that are going on, and talking about missions and talking from a firsthand perspective, not just sharing anecdotes, but sharing personal lived experiences and expressing the joys that people have around the world, but also the need is a way for us in some small way, shape, or form as a little organization to communicate this and provide awareness to the church. So everyone that listens to Reform Forum, we got to remember we're not just on our own here. We're part of the body of Christ ultimately. And you ought to be a vibrant member of a local church. We pray that that would also be a Reformed church, which is organically connected to churches in the region, you know, through a presbytery or classis, and then through a synod or a general assembly, and then through ecumenical relations with churches around the world. But we're all here as believers talking about these things, and the more we can share the ways in which the Lord is working around the world, I think that stirs the hearts of the faithful. It gets us excited, and I couldn't be happier than to share something I heard from someone or connect two people that I know, and to see someone just flame into passion for the Lord's work in that area. That's just a real exciting thing when you see people with needs and then other people with a desire to help, and seeing those two come together by God's grace, that's just the best thing ever. And that's the way the body of Christ ought to work. So if we can, through this podcast, become a little conduit to connecting those kinds of parties for the glory of God, Jim, that's what we're here for today, and more generally for Reform Forum as well. So remind us a bit about your trip to Philippines. I'm sure you saw that passion as well.
Yeah. So a couple of things. First of all, I want to say that the Philippines got a chance to celebrate its second gold medal this past year in men's Olympics. But the Philippines is still bringing in the silver with Reform Forum. You're behind the United States. And I just want to say to my Filipino friends, let's go. Come on, spread the word and become number one. Take the gold for Reform Forum.
You can do it.
You can do it. Right. But anyway, hope to return to the Philippines sometime next year, and to be able to do my tour that I did this past year, and get to encourage, I hope, some of the brethren. And even though I didn't go officially under the banner of Reform Forum, most of the students that I had a chance to teach came up to me afterwards and commented about their appreciation for Reform Forum. Many of the people there in the Philippines speak and understand English readily. They are all educated within the public system with the English language. And so it's not their first language. It's not the language they speak to each other in, but it is a language that they are familiar with. And so I was able to do it without any translation. I was able just to speak English, and people were able to understand. And if they weren't able to understand me, it was entirely my fault.
Well, yeah, we don't, like I said last time, we don't understand you a lot of times.
Right, yeah, it's like, you know, who understands Jersey? Nobody speaks that around here.
It's a running joke.
Anyway, yeah, they're great, and really exciting stuff. They're very hungry, and the Reformed Church there is, by God's grace, growing. There are still great needs. Perhaps the greatest need of all, as we talked about in our episode on the Philippines, is a faithful Reformed confessional seminary with a faculty and all of that. But meanwhile, until that comes about, they're doing a lot of their feeding and education on online ministry from the States, particularly Reform Forum, others as well, of course, because there are other wonderful Reformed educational resources online, but Reform Forum is definitely there feeding the sheep and educating and encouraging the brethren in their good labors in the Philippines.
That's great. I really appreciate that. And, you know, going back to the days of Ringo's and you working on a PhD, I presume you had no thought in your mind that one day you would be teaching courses in Philippines and staying in touch with people, and that we would be generating online courses and resources that would be used around the world this way. It's been kind of a whirlwind.
It's crazy. We went from just talking, recording episodes in Jeff's apartment and outside of the library at Princeton Seminary to where we just had a handful of listeners to now, by God's grace, praise the Lord, able to serve the people of God globally, and we're just super excited about that.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about this more, connecting our individual ministries and our work with the Great Commission. I'd like also for us to have a wider view of the Great Commission, because it's not merely foreign missions. In the OPC specifically, we have what's called worldwide outreach. And then we divide the work of the church into three different phases. So we like to call that worldwide outreach. But I like to think of it this way, that Christ has told his church specifically what they are supposed to do, right? They're to go to make disciples of all men, of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all that he's commanded. Baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that he's commanded. It's that simple. That is the function of the church. Now, everything can get folded into that, because baptizing is about entrance in. So we can think about conversion. Evangelism is seeking to present the gospel and call people to repent and believe on Christ. But the work of the church isn't done once someone enters in. We also make disciples by teaching, and not just the basic principles, not a mere Christianity, but all that he's commanded. So the goal of the Great Commission kind of connects back to our theme verse here at Reformed Forum, which is Colossians 1:28. And the eschatological goal, where we are headed, the end point of the work of the church, is for the church to present every person mature in Christ. So the goal isn't to get people into the church. It's that, but it's more than that. It's to present them mature. So it's a maximalist goal. So let me put it this way. It's not merely what's the bare minimum I need to do to win a soul for Christ, or is my job done when somebody believes? No, our job as the church is not just done upon conversion. It's done upon maturity. Now, we know it's the Holy Spirit that does this. It's Christ who provides the growth. But we are to labor unto this end in the strength of the Lord, knowing that the Lord provides this growth. But having this holistic view of everything the church ought to be doing needs to be linked directly and naturally, spiritually and organically, to making disciples. And making disciples, it's the only imperative in that Great Commission, is making disciples. Go looks like an imperative, but it's a participle in the Greek. It's a prerequisite to making disciples, but the only command in that whole phrase is make disciples. But how do we make disciples? You baptize and you teach them. So when we're looking at the work of the church, you can look at that main function from different perspectives. And the OPC thinks about things in terms of worldwide outreach, but we have three very broad categories for how the Great Commission work proceeds. And it's Christian education, home missions. Home missions is church planting and church extension, but then foreign missions. Jim, I don't know about you, but I think most people, when they think about the Great Commission, they probably immediately think about foreign missions, and that's probably where it stops. You think about the Great Commission as kind of an external, outward activity. Do you agree with that? I don't think, people have thought about this for a long time, probably haven't thought that way, but I imagine that the knee-jerk reaction and the general assumption is that the Great Commission is about foreign missions.
Right. I think so, too, in part because foreign missions, not talking about our foreign missions, particularly in the OPC, but oftentimes that's sort of the call verse, right? The verse mm-hmm. that you present as the biblical mandate for doing the foreign mission work you're seeking to do. And it's true, it does apply there, but it also applies in every aspect of the church's ministry. And this kind of goes to sort of the central thesis I was promoting at the Greenville Seminary pre-conference, right? That mm-hmm. everything the church does is just missions. And that means that it's either flowing out of the Great Commission, or it serves the Great Commission, or it's properly itself doing the work characterized in the Great Commission, right, whether it's baptism or making disciples and mm-hmm. teaching. So, but yeah, it includes foreign missions, but it also includes everything that the church is doing, whether domestic or foreign.
Absolutely. I like to think of it this way. I think this is a sound way to think, but pick this apart if you disagree or if you can improve this. I'm sure you might be able to. I haven't heard this way. I probably picked this up from somebody along the way. I don't think this is my idea, but this is the way I think about it. Now, other churches are not, other denominations are not necessarily going to talk about things in terms of worldwide outreach, Christian ed, home missions, foreign missions. But a lot of these denominations, the PCA, they generally have committees that think about things in these basic categories. So I don't mean this to be OPC exclusive. This is just the metaphor that Jim and I as OPC ministers tend to operate in. It's our water, our air that we breathe, so to speak. So let's start with foreign missions. It's pretty obvious. Foreign missions and the Great Commission. Foreign missions is about making disciples, going out there, baptizing and teaching. It's not that hard to connect the dots between the Great Commission and what foreign missions is. But foreign missions, properly speaking, is about making disciples in an area where there is no church, presumably. Not even a local church, certainly not a presbytery or classis, and then definitely not a General Assembly, Synod, or denomination, federation. So when we're looking at the work of the Great Commission, when we're looking at the work of the Great Commission in an area that doesn't have any churches, that's naturally going to be foreign missions. Now, if we're looking at the work of the Great Commission in an area that has a denomination, and presumably then, if it's Reformed, a presbytery or a classis, but there's no church in that local area, then we call that home missions. It's still the Great Commission work. It's just in a different context because we have some church structure, just not local church structure. So what do when we don't have local church structure? You plant a church. You start a Bible study. You do the different methods and processes to try to get a local church, eventually a particular church established, that would be in fellowship with the other churches in the region that are connected to the denomination. So, Jim, you've been part of that. You planted churches and continue to plant churches. So it's not as if the presbytery is absent. It's just there are certain areas of the presbytery that don't have a local presence. So you try to establish that. Now, what does it look like when you do have a local presence? What does the work of the Great Commission look like when you have local churches that people can get to? You have established presbyteries, you have established denomination. Well, that's what we call Christian ed, Christian education. Now, obviously, you're doing Christian education in church plants. You're doing Christian education on the foreign missions field. But I just like to think of it this way. The three departments of worldwide outreach are all doing the same work. They're just doing different, they're emphasizing different activities given the particular maturity of the church structure and polity in that area. And it just takes different forms. But the point of this all is that they're not doing different missions. They're not doing different work in substance. They're making disciples. Just making disciples looks, the things you need to do to make disciples differs wherever you are and the church's health and maturity in that area will dictate the kinds of things you need to be doing. So that to me was kind of like an unlock, you know, using video, you know, the kids' terms for the video games. I feel like I leveled up in my brain thinking about, you know, what we're doing here. And it was one of those moments where it was like a moment of clarity. It's like that simplicity on the other side of complexity, you know, where it's like, oh, I get this now. And now it's so simple and clear, but it's because I worked it. I had to work through all this, all the moving parts. And then I finally got to something that really made sense to me. And it's a beautiful thing when we think about missions that way. You ever thought about it like that? Or is this old hat that I just am slow to the party to get?
Well, I was slow too, of course, yeah. Until I came into the OPC and I began to recognize a few things with regard to how the OPC does, let's say, evangelism, right? So coming into the OPC, the reputation that the OPC had that was communicated to me at one time is, well, the OPC doesn't do evangelism very well. They're not really evangelistic. They're inbred and so forth and so on. And when that was my sort of working framework until I actually came into the OPC and I began to read reports for foreign missions and for home missions and seeing photographs of missionaries on the field preaching under trees in Africa and planting churches and catechizing children. And I began to wonder, my goodness, everything that this church does is missions. It's like everything we do. And then the publishing arm for Christian Education is what?
Great Commission
publications, yeah. Right? So everything has an eye towards this idea of evangelizing and making disciples of all of the nations and going forth to bring the message of the good news of Jesus Christ, whether it's in Austin, Texas, where at one time there was no OP church. Now we have two OP churches in the greater Austin area. Or if we're talking about Uganda, or we're talking about Japan, or wherever the OPC has had mission works, it's an incredible thing to see the drive and the desire, the prayers, the passion that the brethren within our denomination have for fulfilling the Great Commission. And that's why I love what we're doing with this conference, because with all that's going on around us culturally and in our society, it's so easy to become distracted, perhaps, distracted from what the church ought to be doing, going off and doing other things. And the Great Commission acts as a kind of anchor or core that pulls us back in to focus us on the things that we ought to be doing, that we might do it excellently. And it's impossible, as you know, Camden, to do everything well. And we might be tempted as a church to try to take on extra engagements and extra type of activities. The Great Commission refocuses us so that we are able to really get down and go deep on the things that we ought to be focused upon.
No, I agree. That's exceedingly important. The Great Commission provides focus, especially when churches, their attention is pulled in many, many different directions. I'd like to focus more and dive into specifically this role of theological education. And this would fit more specifically, I suppose, under the heading of Christ commanding his church to teach them all that, to observe all that I've commanded. So certainly there's a practical component to this. There's a measure of sanctification, of piety, of walking in holiness. But that doesn't preclude understanding theology, knowing who Christ is, who God is, and knowing about his law, knowing about eschatology, knowing about everything. Maturity in Christ includes a whole measure of theological statements and beliefs and precepts. So that's more or less where we fit in terms of thinking about the work of Reformed Forum, which is not the church, but supportive of the church. And we believe that we can fit in because we are able, through our particular vocations and opportunities that we have, to produce resources in a way that can be beneficial for the church, whereas individual churches are not equipped to do these kinds of things. It's like not every church translates and prints and publishes its own Bibles, right? That would be crazy. Like, we have organizations that do that, and they do an excellent job. And no one thinks twice about Crossway printing Bibles. That's a good thing to do, but it's supportive of the church. We kind of see ourselves in one small sliver of being able to produce resources from a redemptive historical theological viewpoint that would be beneficial to the church, insofar as the church would take those up and use them so that people are learning in the context of the body of Christ, not just on their own. So what do you see, Jim, as the role of theological education in global missions? Maybe we can connect that to our own philosophy here at Reform Forum and what we're doing, but I'd like at least to open up a discussion point on the need of long-term confessional theological education in order to cultivate mature churches. What have you seen in your own local church, and maybe what have you seen in church plants generally, being a member of the Committee on Home Missions and Church Extension, and as well as in your role in foreign missions? What's the place of theological education and particularly supportive resources in that regard?
Well, it's very valuable, of course. And I just want to emphasize something that you have already said, which is that Reform Forum does not in any way see itself as being the church or doing the work of the church. We are members of the church seeking to provide resources to and for the church, that the church might be able to use those resources to build up the congregation and the work that is being ministered to in one's particular own local context. So, excuse me, I think that, and as I have seen it, this has been very useful. I have gotten a lot of feedback. I know you have as well, and others have among the faculty members of the Reformed Academy, about how some of these classes have been super useful in the context of local churches, where Sunday school classes can be ministered to by showing videos and then having question and answer and discussion time among the people of God. This is a very valuable resource for local pastors and churches, perhaps even for elders of churches that don't currently have a pastor. And maybe those elders are, let's say, so busy with their callings, their secular callings, and their families, that they're unable to prepare a series of Sunday school lessons or something like that. They're able to take our material and to be able, because they trust us, they know what we're about, we're confessional, we're Reformed, all of our faculty members subscribe to the Westminster Standard, so you know what you're going to get theologically, and then be able to put it out there before the congregation, to be able to encourage and feed them, even in times when maybe they don't have a local teaching elder to be able to do that kind of work. And we've seen that as well in the Philippines, just in the context of very busy pastors. Some of the pastors in the Philippines, many of the pastors in the Philippines, are bivocational. And so they're doing secular work, and then they're trying to minister to the congregation, and they're able to use our resources to help build up the local church. Also, I work with Pastor Rocky. I've mentioned him before, over in Mindanao, and he has started a seminary, the Lord's Seminary, and he uses, and if I could put it this way, banks a lot of our materials, including our Reformed Academy courses, and he's able to put those onto a hard drive. And then when students come into the program, he's able to provide those videos for them to watch completely free, because we give this material away for free. I mean, we have donors and supporters that enable it, because it's not free to do, but it is now, because of the generosity of our donors, free to give away. And Pastor Rocky can use that for the training of future pastors in the Philippines. And then lastly, just an example, perhaps in the area of church planting, as you know, church planters are extremely busy because they're sort of a jack of all trades, especially in the OPC. And they're expected to do evangelism. They're expected to go find a facility that the church can meet at on Sunday. They're expected to do counseling and evangelism. And then in addition to that, prepare sermons and Sunday school lessons, et cetera. And sometimes it's nice that we're able to come alongside some of these church planters, offer them free materials that they can use in the context of a Sunday school class, so as to maybe give them a breather. Okay, I have to do a series of sermons on the book of Romans. I don't really have time to do a Sunday school class on covenant theology, so I'm going to use Camden Busey's class that is available in Reformed Academy as one of our Sunday school curriculum courses. and be able to roll that out, and the congregation is edified and good discussion occurs, and the work continues. So again, we see ourselves as servants of the church, not the church, and able to come alongside in a truly parachurch way. Now, obviously, there are a lot of problems with some parachurch organizations that are out there that try to act like and try to be the church, but there's nothing wrong with parachurch organizations as such when those organizations see themselves in the proper light of the Great Commission and the biblical doctrine of the church.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I couldn't agree more. I think that's exactly where we want to be. I want to add something to that in terms of the supporting role. I just read this really, there's some background to this. I read a really provocative article by Craig Ott, O-T-T, who teaches at Trinity, Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. And he's speaking about global theological education, but he's speaking about the cultural aspect to it. And there has been, and I think there's some, there's more than a grain of truth to this, but it has been criticized by some as another form of colonialism or imperialism. I don't want to just write this off as just woke thinking, but when you think about all theology being produced by American institutions and then being sent around the world, and you have no consideration for the fact that not just the language that we use, but even the forms and the way that we do our pedagogy and education certainly is bound up with culture. We need to have an awareness that there needs to be more than just language translation, that even the way that we think, the way that we apply God's eternal truth and apply scripture to our context is necessarily going to be different. I don't mean that the truth is different between contexts, but there's a bad understanding of the word contextualization, but there's a real important aspect to understanding proper contextualization as well. So the reason I mention all that as background is there's an important role in it that we ultimately in missions and in Reformed Forum's support of the work of the church, ultimately we want to put ourselves out of business. The goal of missions is to not need it anymore. Right. I think John Piper put it one way, and let the nations be glad that the goal of missions the reason that missions exist is because worship doesn't. And so we go forth in missions in order to, of course, by God's grace, produce more worshipers. But if all of the elect were worshiping the Lord, then missions proper would cease. We'd be in the new heavens and the new earth. Christ presumably would have returned, and the work of the church for this age would be complete. So the goal of foreign missions from our perspective, from the OPC's perspective, and I think this is biblically sound, it should be the goal of everyone. The goal is to establish, cultivate, and build up self-supporting, self-governing, and self-propagating churches, presumably denominations, presbyteries, or classes, and local churches. So if we go into an area that has no churches, we want to start a church, but we eventually want there to be more than one church. And having a church requires that you have ministers and elders, a plurality of elders. Then you have multiple churches, you've got a presbytery. Then if you can grow that and have your region covered appropriately with presbyteries, you have a denomination. Then the goal is to make sure that all of your churches eventually are ministered by indigenous peoples or peoples that are understanding of. They're not just Americans temporarily serving with people that they're not from the same culture. You want people of the same culture to be ministering to one another long term. And then you want those denominations to turn around and have ecumenical relations with us. So we want to create a denomination that'll turn around and be in fellowship with us through ICRC, or if we're in North America with NAPARC. And then the final piece of this puzzle is that this sort of denomination can support themselves, so they're not reliant upon foreign funds or foreign workers. And then the final piece, so that they would also send out their own foreign missionaries to other lands. Once we have that, then we've got a healthy church in an area, and our work of missions in that area is complete, and we go to work in other areas. That's kind of how we view this. So the goal isn't to create a perpetual need for us or to expand an empire of American Presbyterian interests, or, you know what I mean? Like this old era in which, you know, the British Empire is going to expand across the whole world and send their tribute back to the crown. Well, we want to expand across the whole world to the glory of King Jesus's crown. Yes. But the goal isn't to make little American Presbyterian churches in foreign countries. The goal is to establish biblically sound, and we believe that includes Reformed, confessional churches that can support themselves, that are training up their own ministers, that are also sending out their own foreign missionaries and in ecumenical fellowship with other like-minded believers around the world. So all that being said, the goal here is to put ourselves out of work. Not just at Reformed Forum. We want to raise people up and help them so that they grow in maturity in Christ, so that they eventually produce their own theological resources for their own contexts and for their own people. And then also that foreign missions, from the perspective of the Great Commission and the Lord's Church, that we would be engaged in missions with the passion that it won't be needed anymore. but we're going to keep working at it until the Lord returns, and that's our signal that missions is done. We'll continue to praise and honor and glorify the Lord forever, but the work of the church in terms of missions will be complete at that point. So it's a totally different way to think, because usually when you're thinking about doing the work, if you're thinking in terms of a business, for example, you're thinking about expanding your business and ideally. Increasing it and making people dependent upon you in some regard, that they want your services perpetually or your goods perpetually. But the goal of what we're trying to do is to do such a good job in the strength and power of the Lord that our services are no longer needed.
Yeah, that's right.
It's backwards.
What a great and glorious day that will be, because then we will enter into our eternal Sabbath rest. And the work and the labor will be over. And it being over, we can truly rest in God and his presence and his glory as we worship him with all of the saints and with all of the angelic host. very much looking forward to that time. Meanwhile, we're pilgrims and strangers upon Amen. The earth, but not just pilgrims and strangers on the earth, but we're witnesses as well. And as you know, the word behind witness in Greek is the same word for martyr.
Right.
And so one of the ways that we bear witness to the gospel of Christ is by bearing his image in our suffering and in identity with him and his. And that's a very uncomfortable position to be in. It's a very, very difficult position to be in. And we do see that in so many ways with our foreign missionaries who do go over sees and oftentimes in places where it's not just sort of the discomforts that come in being, let's say, in a third world or developing world context, but also a context in which there is genuine and real hostility, particularly from those who bear the sword, okay, a coercive power of the sword, threatening the church and threatening missionaries. And we've had missionaries who have died on the mission field and so forth and so on. And all of that is what we are called to do as pilgrim witnesses, pilgrim-witnesses here upon the earth, while we are here, while we journey, while we are sojourning, we are bearing testimony in the work of the Great Commission. Just a real quick point about what you were saying earlier in terms of colonialization and the work of foreign missions, and also maybe what we're doing here a little bit in terms of our articulation of Reformed theology for global education. Believe me, it's not our intention or let's say aspiration to go ahead and take white American evangelicalism or something like that, or just white Americanism and spread that throughout the world. Our Reformed theology is not sort of a Trojan horse in order to bring and to spread Americanism throughout the world. That's not what we're seeking to do. We also recognize, however, at the same time, that we come with baggage, and you can't help that. You got to be conscious of it. You got to be aware of it so that you're effective in ministry in different contexts, but it's not the kind of thing that you can leave at home completely. And so there's going to be some of that that goes along with it. But here's the kicker, I think, when we think about foreign missions from our perspective. And the word foreign missions, right, kind of presupposes a home base, a domestic context. And so we would expect that every denomination, every Reformed denomination within its own particular country is going to have a foreign missions program, meaning they're going to seek to serve the church and gather the elect from outside of the boundaries of their particular country and culture. But here's the thing. One of these days, I suspect the church here in America is going to find itself perhaps being in a greater status of remnant than what we are even now. And it might be that in the future down the line, the churches that we're seeking to plant in other countries will, over the years, by God's grace, become strengthened such that it may be that they send missionaries
back to
from their context back over here to be able to revitalize the work of gospel ministry and the Reformed faith in America. And they're going to come over here with a certain amount of cultural baggage as well. And so there's going to be a reverse effect. But at the end of the day, what we're seeking to do is to bring the principles, as you noted earlier, Camden, to bring those Reformed principles to the peoples of the world. So hopefully what they get is not the baggage that we bring, but the principles within the baggage, if you will, that we seek to minister to them.
Sure. Yeah, Dr. Ott wasn't saying it's all bad. He was just saying both sides of things. I hope to talk to him. I've been in correspondence with him via email. So I'm working on trying to schedule him. Maybe we can put some public pressure on getting that scheduled. But he indicated a willingness to talk about it. So hopefully we can have that on the program in the near future, where we can discuss global theological education, particularly online education, and the cultural dimension to that, and then how best we could be thoughtful towards those things. So it's not a question of, do we stop educating people or providing resources? No, but we can be more thoughtful about how to do that and be most effective. But it's naive to think that we could produce any theological resource online and put it out there, then that it somehow is universally applicable the same way or uniformly applicable, maybe I should say, everywhere. It's not. The principles can be, the understanding can be, but even the packaging and the way things are taught has a cultural dimension to it that we would be wise to consider and to develop systems or supporting activities in local environments so that people can perhaps be able to teach. One thing I like, the idea that I like the best, and we're trying to develop, think through this and develop ideas like this at Reform Forum, is to have cohorts and study groups. And we could do that online, but one promising aspect is, let's say we have a study group to go through a book or one of our online courses, and then we meet every other week, a group of pastors from around the world who can all meet at the same time, talk through the issues and work these things out. But then they take those lessons that they've learned from an international group and they take those back to their local churches, whether that's in Germany, Kenya, Japan, any other place, Romania. And then they teach their local people the best they can as an indigenous person teaching to their fellow countrymen and countrywomen. I mean, that's a nice discipleship multiplicative type model that could potentially work, that could get around some of the issues of just Jim Cassidy teaching the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which is an amazing class. But how much better would it be if we also had a study group with a group of international pastors, and then those international pastors went and taught those lessons in addition to your videos to their people? You know, that's better. So that's what we're thinking about and working around, to try to use the tools that we have before us, technologically speaking, but to do so still with a high touch, high involvement as best you can, still at scale, so that people are learning from their local pastor and from like-minded believers in their area, but in a way that is supported by, you know, theologians around the world and through groups like Reform Forum. So there's a lot of dimensions there, and sharing a lot of ideas, and there's a lot of opportunities before us and things that we're working through and thinking through. But I would like to just open things up to people who might have ideas or thoughts or concerns. If something that I've said or that Jim has said strikes your interest and you'd like to follow up, there's certainly ways you can get in touch with us. The best way probably on this particular matter is to send an email to mail@reformedforum.org. From there, it can get forwarded to Jim or to myself. We have an online form as well that will allow you to contact us. We also have other means, but if you, like I said, are in the area or have a private jet, you can come to our conference tomorrow. If you're listening to this the day that it comes out, get to Chicago and come to Grays Lake, Illinois, to Hope OPC, and we'll talk about these things. We can do it in person. And even if you can't come for the conference, Ryan and I frequently will entertain folks here and get together with folks. If you want to come by the office and talk about some of these issues, the best thing to do is to contact us in advance, because we might be busy or might be traveling. But you can still set something up, and we'd love to talk to you about missions and the opportunities before us. We like exploring partnerships. We like thinking through ideas. We like meeting people in new fields. So the opportunities are endless, and the Lord is gracious. And so we love talking to the Lord's people and finding out ways that we can be of service. Jimmy, have any final thoughts or comments, remarks on the topic before you get on a plane here? We're still a week and a half out in terms of our time from when the conference is, but you'll be here soon enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking forward to it. Actually, tomorrow I am getting on an airplane, going to Presbyteria of the Southwest's meeting in Amarillo, Texas. So we're looking forward to that. That should
Christ
be
Covenant.
A lot of fun. Christ Covenant.
Love the brothers
Pastor
there.
Jeremy Boothby, mm-hmm. who's, of course, been on our show before. A dear brother, and looking forward to maybe a little bit cooler weather than what we have here in Central Texas. Up there in the Panhandle, it tends to get a little cooler, especially at night, less humidity than what we have here. But that should be good. And then next week, God willing, coming out for the conference. Looking forward to talking about that section of the conference about teaching.
Yep.
And I'll talk about the relationship between preaching and teaching. And I'm going to float maybe somewhat of a provocative thesis. And I'm looking forward to seeing how that gets received. And of course, as always, I'm happy to get pushback and feedback and debate and all of that over it. And hopefully it'll open up channels for ongoing discussion about the nature of the church's mission to make disciples by teaching.
Love it. So all the sessions from the conference will be recorded, and we will produce nice, clean audio and video versions that'll be available in the podcast feed and on our YouTube channel soon thereafter. Lord willing, we'll have most or all of those up by the end of Monday. So the conference Saturday, we'll rest on the Lord's Day, and then Monday I'll be cracking to try to get all these lectures out so that people can watch them and follow along. But most of all, we are looking forward to seeing people in person, really excited about it, and to whet people's appetites. We also have some other events that are in the works. So we're looking to schedule some meetups in Texas the first week of December. We're eyeing December 3rd through 7th, so we don't have anything finalized or on the books.
Yeehaw.
But you got it. But Ryan, Noah, and I and potentially some other Reform Forum faculty will be cruising around Texas. We certainly would love to get to Austin and then most likely keeping an eye on Houston and Dallas. So we're working things out, talking to some folks, seeing when people are around and trying to work that out. So if you're in the Texas, in that three city area, which I know is enormous, keep some availability around in case we're able to come, and we'll let everyone know through our email list as soon as we have any details. We also are working on a conference. Again, no details, but I just want to get people excited. Maybe I can get myself in trouble by saying things too early, but we are eyeing a conference in Oklahoma City in February. So get excited about that. We're working on that. I think that was, I don't have it in front of me, but close to February 20th, I think is might be a Saturday, 19 and 20, if that's a Friday, Saturday, 2025. Looking on working out venues and subject matter and that sort of thing. So if you're in the Oklahoma City area, we would love to come and meet you and visit as well. So it's going to be a great end of year 24 and beginning of year 25. And lots ahead of us. So we do want to encourage people to head on over to reformedforum.org to find out more information about all of our programs, our courses, our events, publications, and podcasts. But also, while you're there, if you're willing and able, head on over to reformedforum.org/donate. There you can donate to our mission and partner with us in providing theological resources for the world, in supporting the church and presenting every person mature in Christ in this very distinct and unique way. And we'd love to hear from you if you're excited about that sort of thing. Send us a note, mail@reformedforum.org. With that, I want to thank everybody for watching and for listening, and we hope you join us again next time on Christ the Center.